For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score at long last, David. At long last, our national nightmare is over, and the NBA season begins today.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, happy Tuesday.
Yes.
Seems very early to start the NBA season, but we do have two games tonight. Knicks, Celtics, T-Wolves, Lakers. Bulls start tomorrow night right here on The Score and the Chicago Sports Network. We have Billy Donovan at 725 today. Looking forward to that. The biggest story in the NBA tonight is, I think, something somewhat remarkable. LeBron James and Bronny James,
yeah,
likely to be on the court at the same time for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Incredible that LeBron has so much power, he can have his son make the NBA. Is that what you mean?
That's what you mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great. I think it's going to be a family affair. I believe the Griffies are going to the game. Pretty sure that they will be in attendance.
It's an event. I think that the Griffey's going adds a little gravitas to it because they obviously
legitimately belonged in the league
at the same time. They played in the same outfield, I believe. Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. And there have been other father-son combos that have done this or not at the same time.
Have you chatted at all with LeBron about playing with Bronny? Has he asked your advice? Have you given some advice from your own experiences?
No, we haven't talked yet. I'm actually gonna go to the game. I'm gonna take my dad, first father and son to play baseball now, first father and son to play basketball. So it's a big deal for my dad and I to be there. We made history. Now we get to watch history. So that's what's gonna be cool about it.
That's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat.
It's Griffey Jr.
That's good.
Former White Sox.
Yeah, former White Sox outfielder. He played a little bit with the Seattle Mariners, too. He is going to see. And, yeah, there are going to be questions about Bronny's legitimacy on an NBA roster. And maybe it won't last any longer than LeBron's tenure as a Laker. But still pretty cool. I think it's fine that he engineered all this. I don't have a big problem as much as some other people. I think it's kind of interesting.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it at all. I'm just joking around. I think it's fun. I think it's great. I got literally no beef with LeBron getting his son. If a man, what was the great Richard Daley line? The original mayor. If a man can't help his son, then what has the country come to?
Right.
A man should be able to help his son.
Yeah, I have probably more questions, legitimate questions about how J.J. Redick became the Lakers coach than maybe how LeBron. Bronny James became the 15th member on the roster.
Careful. He'll go blue on you.
He will go blue.
Yeah, he's done it.
Lakers before. Tonight, though, they start their season. Who knows where it will end? I'm curious to see what the Knicks look like. It does seem a little bit early for the NBA, but they are playing NHL hockey. This is the confluence of all the seasons. Everything's colliding. So much happening at once.
Yes, yes. It's all coming together. It's actually very fun.
It's good. Thank goodness the World Series doesn't start till Friday.
Well, I mean, gosh, the World Series starts on Friday. Isn't that crazy? Good stuff could take place before Friday. Really important stories for us.
What?
I don't want to say.
What? Do you know something?
I don't want to put the Malecki on it.
Do you know something?
I don't want to put the Malecki on it. Have you read the pick six questions?
Hold on. Hold on. Let me see. Let me prep here. I did read the pick six questions. The White Sox manager list is, we went over it yesterday. It's like 10 deep.
I understand.
It's 10 deep.
Do they name one?
I don't know.
Before Friday's first pitch?
I doubt it.
Or are they going to have to wait longer?
They'll have to wait. They asked permission from the Rangers to talk to two of their bench coaches, Will Venable and...
Wise guy.
Will Venable was a former coach on the Cubs staff from 2018 to 2020.
Yes.
And so they have a lot of guys without experience. I think the only guy with experience that we are linking to this job right now that they have talked to or shown interest in is Skip Schumacher. We'll save
Buck Showalter. Come on now.
Who linked him besides Buck Showalter?
So it's linked.
All right, we'll wait till the pick six because we don't want to exhaust all the good stuff.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to tease something. And then you're like, what? What do you mean? Oh, let me read the question aloud.
I did not read the question aloud.
You basically did.
I know. We talked about it. It'll happen. I don't think it'll happen before Friday. Do you?
I mean, isn't there a moratorium once they start playing?
What's the hurry?
What do you mean, what's the hurry? It's been like, when did we know they were going to lose, set a record for losses?
April 15th?
Exactly. Okay. Who's in a hurry?
My point is the timetable is irrelevant when you talk about the manager. As long as somebody filled out the lineup card on opening day, we're good.
Okay, that's accurate. But when you say we're firing the manager and this guy has no chance of getting the job, then you pretty much start looking, don't you? And if you didn't start looking while the guy was losing 20-something games, then you weren't paying attention.
Point is they've been looking for a long time, since they fired Pedro Grifol. I thought they'd have somebody now. But they might be waiting for maybe somebody on the Dodgers staff to get freed up, perhaps Clayton McCullough. Donnie Yecker was the other member of the Rangers crew or staff that they wanted to interview. Okay. The Bruce Bochy bunch.
Yeah.
Bochy's bunch.
That's fine. What's wrong with Bruce?
What's wrong with Bruce Bochy?
I mean, wasn't he available?
They didn't want him because they hired Pedro Grifol instead. See, now we're going down a path we don't want to go.
Well, this is the point.
Thank you.
This is the point.
Thank you. By the way, while we're on the subject.
Yes, please.
Did Governor Pritzker address the stadium issue on Monday? I believe he did.
I believe he did.
At the end of some remarks, he was asked by an intrepid reporter that caught up to him about the idea that the White Sox would be looking at the 78 and where that stood in terms of the quest for public subsidies.
It sure does sound like the White Sox are not going to stay. What do you think?
Well, you never know. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes these things get mentioned in public because, you know, they're trying to spur some action. So I don't know whether it sounds like they're leaving or not. I can just say that the same challenges exist for, putting public money to a private business. I mean, in the kind of size that people are looking for. We're always helping private businesses here, I might add, right? So sometimes it's just infrastructure, building the, you know, putting the street light in front of the business, or building the street or the highway. Or, you know, helping build the infrastructure for transportation for a manufacturing facility. So we do that kind of thing all the time. But $1 billion or, you know, so investment in a private business that's, for a private business rather, that is, you know, owned by wealthy people and is a, you know, is a highly valued enterprise, seems like the taxpayers rightly should say, don't we have other uses for that capital?
Wow. Yeah. So that's a pretty lengthy answer and a long way to say no.
Well, I mean, it's not $1 billion. It's like 1.7, I believe, because Jerry has said that he will throw in a couple hundred thousand. So if the bill is 1.9, you really only need the government to kick in $1.7 billion.
I know what you're saying, and that is kind of amusing.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't know if we have a final tally or a number that we know the White Sox are in for,
okay,
or would be in for. I think I've seen ranges. I think that is why, when we go back to, in all seriousness, when we go back to what Jerry Reinsdorf indicated near the end of the season in the statement, and he said he will at one point address everything, address people, that's what I think is one of the biggest reasons why he should. Let's clarify exactly what the White Sox would have in terms of their own stake in this project, because I think that is ambiguous right now.
Versus the ask.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then we can all do the math, and we can all make our own judgments then. Right now, I do think there's a range of guesstimates about what the White Sox are in for, because people surrounding the project would say that Jerry Reinsdorf is going to be invested with his own personal stake and have some skin in the game, if you will. And others will suggest that, well, not as much as he needs to. So somewhere in between, maybe there's a compromise position. But I would like to hear from Jerry Reinsdorf himself as far as what that means and what he's, how far he's willing to go.
And the Bears, theirs is a private public enterprise where they put in $2 billion, but they would need $2.7 billion?
According to the original plan, the estimates, we've all seen those estimates kind of grow as people have kind of studied them. But right now, the Bears are working with, under the assumption that it's a $4.7 billion project, they would kick in $2 billion of their own, and 2.7 then would be financed from the public sector.
And then whenever anything was held there, they would get all the money.
All the money.
I'm just trying to do the math.
No, the math does add up, and everything equals McCaskey's.
Okay, just that's right. That is sort of what I had thought.
Yeah. Well, as we heard sort of in the tone from Governor Pritzker, a billionaire himself, that when billionaires ask for assistance, it doesn't mean you have to provide it.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the tenor in terms of not only in Chicago, but when you look around the country and professional sports stadium projects, this is becoming more and more common to hear the word no.
But it was a very long no.
He's an eloquent guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got a pretty vast vocabulary.
It seems so.
And he did. There were many words. There were many words. You know what happens when you hear a very long no? You tend to wonder how much the speaker enjoys saying
waiting for the no.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't agonized. He wasn't like, nobody had to twist his arm to go into that detail.
Let me tell you a story that I'm going to take you down this road, and then we're going to go, oh, and there's a twist, and the twist is no.
Because?
No.
Thank you.
I prefer the no than the explanation before the no.
I do too.
Don't you just kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No.
Okay.
Because
no.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Does that mean the Rays aren't going to play there either?
Apparently not.
Sully's going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, apparently no Rays.
That was such a good column.
Yeah.
Such a fun idea. But I do think that the 78 will. Here's what I don't know. Last thing on this, draw a distinction between the Bears and the White Sox, Molly. I wonder, because the White Sox project or quest for a new ballpark there in the South Loop, because it's linked to a broader project.
Yes.
The $9 billion investment in the South Loop related Midwest. I wonder if that has more legs than the Bears because of that. And the Bears' ask seems so ambitious and so unrealistic that I do wonder if there's a distinction to be drawn between both of them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The other element to it, and we haven't really spoken enough about it, but the Bears, for lack of a better term, we'll call it their project or their ambition, would include things like a hotel and a casino, right? Like things that would not, within the city charter, really be acceptable for the lakefront as the city fathers planned it.
Well, that certainly wasn't what the original vision would have included. No.
Yeah.
I don't think that.
Haven't you heard that?
Yes. The Warren Project would include hotels and a casino, from the way I understand it.
Right.
And so the pushback has been, and certainly it'll get louder if it goes further, from the Friends of the Parks, I think, that this was not what anybody originally envisioned.
Yes.
Even though God kissed the lakefront, I don't think that he planned to put a casino there.
Well, I mean, there is, if you have a glass building, a bird can fly into it. If you have a casino, people can lose a ton of dough at a casino. It's been known to happen.
And the glass building gets bigger.
You worry more about the whales getting wiped out.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about any actual animals.
These are interesting times, though, because of the not the race to Springfield, but we've talked about it now for going on a better part of a year about the shared ambition, separate issues, separate projects, but both the same thought in mind. The Bears and the White Sox want a new home.
And it's fascinating because at the United Center, as we've talked about, they are doing a new revitalization of the downtown using that building as sort of an anchor for the number of people that will go there to watch the Bulls and Blackhawks. But there's no public ask. They are taking, parking lots that surround the place, and they are building parking structures and then using the land itself to build up the downtown area.
It's called the 1901 Project. Yes. It is a redevelopment of that part of the Near West Side, and it's a combination of the Wirtz family and the Reinsdorf families coming together and doing something that is prodigious and profound and lasting. So that is another thing going on around the United Center, which has been a wildly successful building.
And again, I mean, I think that, like, when you start thinking about the parking problem and you start thinking about buildings and you need places to go and to park, that's tons of land and that's very hefty real estate. And so if you can figure out a way to take care of the parking issue, whether it be subterranean, whatever, that buys you tons of land.
That means underground, right?
That means underground.
Yeah,
but it also means that above ground you will have all sorts of places to
expand.
No
question about it. Yeah. United Center will be hopping tonight. There'll be hockey there.
Yes, there will.
Blackhawks are back home. Philip Kirchhoff is on the bench, and they look for another victory.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
I think it is interesting. Yeah. And we don't talk a lot about how Luke Richardson goes about picking his lineups and roster, but he is called out. Philip Kirchhoff, who was a second-line center, last year enjoyed life on the same line as Connor Bedard because of all the additions, moved to the second line, and he's not getting the job done. And Luke Richardson said that in very plain English on Monday, and that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not something that happens all the time, although we're seeing a lot of people calling out people. I don't know that I like it necessarily. I don't mind coaches doing it, but when quarterbacks call out a receiver, that kind of
don't like that.
Looks wrong.
Yeah, it's a bad look for you're referring to Aaron Rodgers.
I am referring to Aaron Rodgers, oddly enough.
He's called out his receiver last week. He called out the media this week. Who's he going to call out next week? I don't think it will be himself.
Yeah, and the thing is, next week I think they play the Patriots, so I'm not sure there's anyone he's going to have to call.
They're soft.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah, ask the coach.
Yeah, it's the coach said.
Yeah. That's
imagine that.
No, I can't imagine that.
You talk about calling people out.
Well, I mean, if you say that about a football team, is there a greater insult you can
No,
give?
Because it lasts too.
Yeah.
That's a label that will stick.
Oh.
And those are words he'll kind of come to regret unless they turn things around. You don't want to be that guy, do you?
I mean,
he hasn't accomplished anything as a head coach.
He did play in the league. and he does know where
Fair
he
enough.
Speaks.
Fair enough.
But I would be very hesitant. There are rules in the locker room about calling people out publicly. You can do that privately, and there's nothing wrong with him telling them that he thinks they're soft.
Maybe that's what surprised me, was that a player who had that kind of a career in that organization
exactly
was as publicly critical in a way that was derogatory. You don't call a team soft because nobody forgets that label.
And it is the most damning label in football. If you say that a guy shies away from contact, or if you say a guy, you know, is a coward, which is what you're saying.
It's essentially what you're saying about your team, about your roster.
I don't know how you cast.
I'm going to call you a coward on Sunday night, and then next week, let's go out and play for me.
And then I'll give you a game ball if you do well.
I don't think it goes a long way.
I don't know that that's going
to
work.
The Bears will welcome the Patriots to Soldier Field on November 10th, and they will be very glad to see them.
Yeah, I think that's a good team to have on your schedule.
It is. Even though the Bears have the toughest schedule remaining of all the teams in the league.
Well, that's because they haven't played any division games.
Facts are facts.
They nonetheless do not have a very difficult schedule, top to bottom, outside their division.
I know, but
it's not like they're playing all the returning.
But they play. They have yet to play a team in the division, so I think the remainder of the schedule is a wake up call.
And David, every team within their division will have had a game against every other team in their division
before they play the Bears. I know. That's tough.
So that puts them at a disadvantage.
So the Bears have the Commanders, and then they have the Cardinals, and they have the Softies, and then they go against the Packers.
Wow, the Softies. I tell you what, you better beat that team.
You better beat that team. Yeah. I mean, the coach has given up on them. You can't.
Oh, boy.
That's a gimme.
That's just.
So, a lot of stuff going on. Good night of Monday Night Football.
Yeah. You know, the one game was excellent. The other game was a lot of field goals.
A lot of field goals. I'm glad that I didn't watch that because you had to do a little maneuvering with the apps, and it was on, what, ESPN Plus?
Did you watch the Manning cast, or did you watch?
No, I watched the regular. I like Troy
Aikman.
You don't like
the Manning cast.
No, I do like the Manning cast, but I appreciate and respect Troy Aikman and Joe Buck more than I like the Manning cast.
I could watch Bill Belichick watch a football game 24/7. I just love that.
I think they talk over each other too much.
You know
me.
What's funny is I think that Peyton is excellent until he has Bill Belichick on. Then I'm like, Peyton, be quiet. Bill just said something.
Was it good?
Well, if you like a quarterback dropping back to pass, surveying the field, buying himself time, and hearing the old head coach throw it away, right as the guy throws an interception.
That's funny.
It was fantastic.
Because
he has the internal clock that the quarterback lacked.
It would be good theater. I enjoyed
it's great.
Troy Aikman breaking down Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, and I like those guys in the booth together, so I rarely stray from that broadcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.